Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning, would you read it with me? It again is Dogged Love. Based on our gospel reading, listen to these verses again. But the Canaanite woman came and knelt before Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. And Jesus answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I invite you to open up your handout today, look at your sermon outline, and follow along with our theme, Dogged Love. One day, a mama mouse, picture this scene, a mama mouse was leading her family of 10 little baby mice across the kitchen floor. And as they were about halfway across the floor, a big black cat pounced onto the floor and scared the little babies. Mama, unperturbed, opened her mouth up wide and barked out loud like a dog. And the cat just shot out of the kitchen. And with all the self-satisfaction she could muster, Mama turned to her baby mice and said, There, children, do you understand now the importance of knowing a second language? A second language. Today's gospel reading is about two very important languages in the life of a Christian. Faith and love. And we'll combine these two languages and talk about a faithful love, a dogged love. When you look up the word dogged in the dictionary, here's what you find. Stubbornly determined, tenacious, not giving up. Today we'll learn about the dogged love of a Canaanite woman. And the dogged love of Jesus for her and for all of us. Look at your sermon outline. This woman loved in reverence. The text says this, Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon oppressed. With reverent love, this woman came to Jesus, addressing him first as Lord, my master, and then Son of David, you're the promised Messiah. Yet just before this event in Scripture, just before this event, the Jewish religious leaders and the Pharisees had shown Jesus no respect, no reverence, no love, and she was a foreigner, a Canaanite. A pagan, an outcast, who many Hebrews called a Canaanite dog. But she came to Jesus in reverent love. The woman loved in agony. Verse 22 says, she cried out to Jesus. In the Greek language, that verb really means she cried out again and again in agony and in desperation for her little belabored daughter. Parents, you know, when your children are hurting, you are hurting. She cried out and she loved her daughter in agony. The woman loved her daughter. The text says, did you notice? The text says that Jesus did not immediately respond to her cries. He was silent. And the disciples begged him, send away this Canaanite pest. But her dogged love for her daughter would not let her give up. Verse 25 says, she came and she worshiped Jesus. This really literally means she threw herself at Jesus' feet. You see, this woman loved in humility. Listen to the next verses, 25 and following. But Jesus answered, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of Israel. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Jesus compared her pleading and begging to like a little dog begging his master for treats. Boy, do we know about that at our house. But the woman humbled herself. She humbled herself and begged anyway because she knew that Jesus was the only one who could help. This woman loved with a quick wit. In response to Jesus' dog comment, she was even more dogged in her faith and determination. Instead of being put off by being compared to a little dog, listen to what she says. But Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Translation, okay, Lord, you can compare me to a little begging dog if you want to. I can accept that. But I have a dogged love for my daughter and a dogged faith in you. And I believe that a good master will not let his dog go hungry. Lord, I believe that you will not turn me away. This woman loved with faith. She had heard the word proclaimed about Jesus. She now was in his holy presence as she knelt before him. By both of these means, the Holy Spirit of God created faith in her heart. This faith was a dogged faith in Jesus and a dogged love for him. In the face of her daughter's desperate condition and Jesus' seeming silence, she didn't give up. She kept trusting him. Story is told of a country congregation that met one Sunday afternoon out in a farmer's field. The area had been under a drought for a long time. It had no rain. Everything was burning up. The farmers were in real trouble. The little congregation gathered with their preacher in a farmer's field to pray to God to send rain. And the preacher stood on a box and he addressed his congregation. And this is what he said, "Brothers and sisters, you know why we are here. Now what I want to know is this. Where are your umbrellas? Here is a needed reminder for each of us. In the face of difficult situations in your life that maybe only you and your Lord know, in the face of God's seeming silence to your prayers, as he was silent to this woman of Canaan, in the face of you forgetting your umbrellas, my friends, don't you give up. Don't you ever give up. You will learn what this Canaanite woman learned and what she is teaching us today. This woman loved with perseverance. She told Jesus, I will not give up. I will look to you and no one else, Lord, Son of David. She was persevering. I'm reminded here of a mix-up at a large hotel. A woman who was a delegate to a national convention arrived at the hotel only to discover there were no rooms available. Quite frustrated, she made the rounds from one hotel to the next, but she was turned away at every one. There was no way she could back out of this national convention. Finally, after being turned down by the sixth place, she confronted a desk clerk with a boldness that both surprised her and surprised him. She said to him, "Look, buddy, if the Queen of England walked in here right now and asked you for a room, you'd have a room for her, wouldn't you?" And the clerk stammered and stuttered and said, "Well, yeah, I guess we would." "Good," said the woman. "I can guarantee you the Queen is not going to show up today, so just give me her room." It is with this kind of dogged determination and perseverance and faith the Canaanite woman came to Jesus. There was just something about this Jesus that created faith in her heart. What was it? Well, we've seen her dogged faith. Now, let's see Jesus' dogged love for her and for you and me. Here's a point of our sermon. I'll say it twice so you get it once. His love creates our faith. I say it again. His love for us creates our faith in Him. Remember the definition of dogged? Dogged. Determined. Tenacious. Not giving up. Maybe you didn't notice. Verse 21 of the gospel reading was so quick, he probably went right over your head. It was Jesus who made the first move toward her, not her to him. The first verse of this account says in verse 21, "So Jesus went up from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." You see, Jesus purposefully left Israel and went to a Gentile, Canaanite, pagan country. That is, Jesus made a special trip to the wrong side of the tracks. Why? Because he had a divine appointment with this Canaanite woman. This single verse is so easily overlooked, but it's so important. Jesus went out of his way to be with her. He went where no disciple thought he should go. He interacted with somebody no self-respecting Pharisee would even spit at. A Canaanite dog. A woman. See, people of Canaanite background, unfortunately at this time, were referred to by many people of Jewish background as dogs. Now, I want you to remember that when we will soon see Jesus using this expression, but not as a way to degrade her, no, as a way to strengthen her determined and dogged faith in him. Jesus made the first move to this woman. He sought her out. Goodness, this is the story of the entire Bible. Just a few examples. There are way too many to list. Consider the example in Genesis chapter 3. Just after Adam and Eve had sinned and rebelled from God and were trying to hide from Him because of their shame and guilt behind some flimsy bushes, what did God do? Genesis 3:9 says, God looked for them and said to them, "Where are you?" His love and His mercy compelled Him to go searching for them. Consider the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15. This is the text I've chosen for my own funeral. Go home and read this chapter, Luke 15. This prodigal son has really messed up. He ran away from home. He thumbed his nose at his father. He wasted his inheritance. Now he's slopping pigs and eating pig slop. But the father never gave up. Never quit loving him. And the text says in verse 20, when the son was still afar off, the father saw him, ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him and embraced him. What a portrait of God. What a picture of our Lord's dogged love for you. His tenacious, never-ending love that will not give up. St. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Try this one on for size this morning. For while we were still sinners, while we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wow! Would you take a moment right now, from whatever you're doing, and look up at our Savior on the cross above the altar. He made the first move to us. He came for us. He sought us out. Jesus said of himself, I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are lost. He died on that cross to pay for our sins. He rose from that grave to give us the gift of heaven to defeat for us sin, death, and devil. He is alive, and he hears our prayers, and he knows our needs. And now are you listening? As we learn with the Canaanite woman, his momentary silence to our prayers does not mean he refuses to care or to answer. You see, Jesus did not immediately respond to the pleas of the Canaanite woman. The disciples even said, "Get rid of her." Now, Jesus did not help her right away as she wanted. But he also did not do what his disciples wanted. He did not send her away. He came for her. He remained with her. Dear friends, here's something for each of us to learn and to learn and to learn again. God's temporary silence does not mean his refusal to help. It might just be, are you with me? It might just be that God is up to something greater than we can imagine in this time of silence. In this instance, Jesus' holy delay strengthened this woman's faith. She asked, and he was silent. She asked, and he spoke about little begging dogs. She asked, and she replied that Jesus was a good master who would not even turn away a dog. And then she fell at his feet and she worshiped him, her faith growing stronger and stronger and more dogged. And finally, what did Jesus do? Well, he bragged about her faith to some very surprised, self-righteous disciples. He said, "Woman, great is your faith." And he healed her little daughter. Jesus' holy delay is not unique to this Canaanite woman. In Genesis chapter 1, we learn that Abraham waited till he was 100 years old till God finally kept the promise of giving him a son named Isaac. In Romans 4 verse 20 says this, Abraham grew strong through faith. King David, in a time of great personal distress and turmoil, penned these words in Psalm 22, verse 2. O Lord, I cry out day and night, but you are silent. But later, God did deliver David. And in John chapter 10 and 11, we learn that a man named Lazarus was very ill. Jesus purposely delayed in getting to him, and he died. And Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, inquire, said to Jesus, Oh, Jesus, if only you hadn't taken so long, if only you had been here, don't you care? Yet later, when the time was right, Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave with the result that many came to saving faith. My friends, let me ask you this morning, what wonderful thing might God be accomplishing in your life as you wait upon his answer? Again, look at our Savior on the cross. His love for us is greater than we can imagine. And Jesus answered the prayer of this Canaanite woman, not because she twisted his arm, not because she pestered him. He answered her prayer because he loved her so. And his love created in her heart a strong and dogged love and faith. As you have heard me say so many times as your pastor, and as you heard me today say in today's children's message, our dear Lord does answer the prayers of all of his beloved children. And sometimes because Father knows best, sometimes he says to us, yes. Sometimes because he truly loves us, he says, no. And sometimes he says, not yet, but hang on. We only respond in trust if we know he has our best in store for us. We're now coming toward the end of our sermon. We're now rounding third, Herb, and heading toward home. I once read an account of a famous actor some years ago in my youth who was giving readings to big literature groups. He would pick the classic texts of literature from all over the world and read and perform these texts. At the end of one presentation, he recited the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." He did it with masterful flourish and expert diction. When he was done, the hall just clapped and clapped. But someone that day noticed sitting in the back an elderly pastor, stooped and white-haired, and they asked him to recite the psalm as well. And he demurred and said, I'm no great speaker. I'm no great actor. You don't want to listen to me. But they kept asking, and he said, okay. His speech was haltering. His manner was quite simple. But when he was done, everyone remained silent. Something had happened to that group. And someone asked the famous actor afterward, "What happened back there? What was the difference in your presentations?" It was the same psalm. And the actor responded with great respect. And he said this, "I knew the psalm, but he knew the shepherd." Oh, dear Lord, thank you that you are our good shepherd. Thank you for the life and the faith and the witness of the Canaanite woman we met today in the gospel reading. Along with her, dear Lord, please help us every day to celebrate your dogged love for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.